Now, I'm not going to turn this into an Ndamukong Suh love fest, but the guy was a very effective player for the Bucks.
And then the cannolis came out, you know, with the good icing, with the good filling, that not that junk you get at Publix.
I don't like it. You may not like it. Buck fans may not like it, but he said it.
Ira, summer's here, storm season is here, and that means you have to have Florida's EliteRestoration.com right there ready on your phone and on your laptop so you know who to call when there's a disaster. Florida's Elite Restoration has a $500 offer for Joe Bucks fan readers and Ira Kaufman podcast listeners, but you have to mention it if you use their service right up front. And what does that mean? That means you still get a free assessment in your home if you have a disaster, a fire, flood, storm damage, mold, whatever it might be. You call Florida's Elite Restoration. They're going to come out and check everything out in your home and your business, give you a full and thorough assessment, and work with you with your insurance company if it has to go that direction. But if you use their services, they will give you a $500 rebate or a just $500 off. And you can use that for your deductible, or maybe that's just off your cash purchase.
You'd be foolish not to take advantage of that $500 offer from Florida's Elite Restoration. Smarten up. Take advantage. $500, Florida's Elite Restoration.
Very important to remember. Great savings in these times where everybody's trying to save some money. And Florida's Elite Restoration is top shelf, best in the business when it comes to restoration of your home or your business after a disaster. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Buccaneers fans, we're back on the Ira Kaufman podcast. June is here. The sage of Tampa Bay sports. His tan is in full swing. His Baron of Big Storm Beerness is loading up on all the great beers. And of course, he is driving his Ford Escape, beautiful cherry red 2020. From Bill Curry Ford, who presents all of Ira's work at JoeBucksFan.com. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeKemper is here. Ira, all kinds of great stuff happening at Bill Curry Ford. The beginning of the month is a great time to remind everybody that the general manager, Sean Sullivan, is there for every single Bucks fan by phone, email, or just drop into the dealership a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. He wants to help you personally, even if it's, hey, I'm getting out of my lease in December and I'm thinking of buying now. He'll tell you all about how they're taking no deposit orders for new vehicles, or he'll help you with body work and give you the Ira Kaufman discount. Remember the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles at Bill Curry Ford. BillCurryFord.com, family owned, 62 years coming up on now. And GM Sean Sullivan just wants to help you personally. It's a tremendous opportunity if you're looking for a vehicle of all kinds. BillCurryFord.com. And we love Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. It's beer season, although I guess it's always beer season. And we're going to hear later about that great offer from Florida's Elite Restoration, $500 for Joe Bucks fan readers and listeners. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. That's where you go. That's who you call the moment you have a disaster in your home, fire, flood, storm damage, whatever it may be. Ira, the fun is flowing. I know you were out at One Buck Place yesterday. The Bucks have a new defensive tackle, 6'4", 335, Akeem Hicks. What do you have to say for yourself there, Sage?
One quick note to open. 62 years for Bill Curry Ford. 62 years ago, I was a toddler, Brooklyn, New York, sharing a 5x7 bedroom with my older brother, Barry. No air conditioning. One little window that opened onto a courtyard. We had one of these trundle beds. You know, he's 9, I'm 5. And he says to me, hey, buddy, little brother, I'm going to let you have the window from December to April. And I'll take the window starting in May. I didn't know any better, Lee. What do I know? I'm not even in kindergarten yet. So my brother had the window for the summer, and I had it when I was freezing my ass off. Now, as far as One Buck Place, Lee, I walk in there before I even see Lee DeKemper. I am told that Warren Sapp's out on the field. My first reaction is, well, geez, I guess I'll see Sapp when practice ends. Steve, I never know if I'm going to get a fist bump or a glare from 99. I mean, I never know. Other people are close to him. Catherine Smith works for Bay News 9. He always gives her a nice greeting. Loves Catherine Smith. Shireen Williams from Pro Football Talk. Loves Shireen Williams. With me, it's very up and down, Steve, very up and down. Anyway, I never got to see him, but here comes Akeem Hicks. Of course, we didn't know it, Steve, unfortunately. The news broke a little bit after we talked to Bowles and some players. I'll put it simply, Lee, I got no problem with him if he's healthy. And Lee, you put that word if, I-F, in capital letters. If he's healthy. Lee, two out of the last 3 years, and that's not a good sign for a guy that's 32. He's basically played a third of a season, a half a season. Lee's got 8 sacks in the last 3 years. Now, say what you want about Ndamukong Suh. I'm reading all these things, how he was, quote, ineffective as a pass rusher. I don't agree with that, Lee. I thought he was decent as a pass rusher. Otherwise, he wouldn't have played that many snaps. Correct me if I'm wrong, Lee. He had 12 sacks in the last 2 years, evenly divided. Never misses a game. So, Lee, I'm not going to turn this into an Ndamukong Suh love fest. But the guy was a very effective player for the Bucs. And there's a reason Akeem Hicks was still out there 10 weeks into free agency. I'm not sure he can stay healthy. And so in that respect, let's not go crazy that this is some kind of significant upgrade.
I agree with you, Ira, but there's a reason why Ndamukong Suh is still out there 10 weeks into free agency.
He's older, Lee. He's older. He's older.
Doesn't that back up what Light and Bowles are doing? I agree with you. Hicks is not an upgrade. I mean, come on. However, I got to be fair. However, Sue's pass rushing, particularly inside, may have eroded to the point where they couldn't justify the salary, and they didn't bring Hicks in there. I'm 75% in agreement with you, Ira, about Hicks. He's injury prone, and what have we heard time and time and time again? Your best ability is your availability. Well, you can't say that about Hicks the last 3 years. And I think it's a fair question that you're expecting a guy in his 30s after 3 injury-plagued years to all of a sudden be healthy. I don't know if I could buy that. Guys in their 30s that are hurt 3 years in a row, they don't all of a sudden become healthy. That doesn't happen that often. From what I gather, the little morsels of information I get here, there, other places, the Bucs really wanted to upgrade their interior pass rush. And they apparently felt Sapp wasn't giving them that, at least not for $10 million.
Lee, you're talking about Suh, not Sapp, obviously. But go ahead, Ira.
Steve, the one thing I will point out, which I think could, is significant. Hicks was not hurt in 2020, Steve. He wasn't hurt. And he had 3.5 sacks. So, is he going to get better at this age than he was 2 years ago? I mean, I think the guy's okay. He had some big years for the Bears, but they're kind of in the rearview mirror, Steve.
Yeah, it's a very interesting chess game on a lot of levels, Sage. I went back to look at all the injury reports yesterday. In 2020, Hicks missed 2 games, ankle and then a hamstring issue, minor. Excuse me, 1 game, but he had ankle and hamstring issues. 2019, he lost a lot of games with an elbow and a knee injury. And then last year, it was a groin and an ankle that cost him about half the season. So very hard to bank on the guy playing all the way through at this age. But obviously, the Bucks think he's better than Suh. They think he's an upgrade. I don't think there's any doubt about that unless this contract that is listed as up to $10 million is so loaded with incentives that it's just a much better contract than they could have gotten for Suh. That's the part we don't know yet as we record this. Maybe it's $4 million plus a ton of incentives. Yeah, I don't really know. But he is a bigger body. And at 6'4", 335, maybe he's better suited to replace or rotate with Vita Vea. Now, I don't know if that's part of this equation as well. So lots to figure out, but he's known as a pass rusher. And, while he hasn't put up the numbers, like most inside guys don't put up the numbers, Suh did put up numbers. He did find his way to those 6 sacks last year, and he did have the huge strip of Cam Akers, which was no fluke. And it wouldn't even have even been close if he didn't strip him in that game, and we'd be sort of have a different eye on the Bucs season and how close they really are to the Rams. So Sue's gone, and I don't know what we got.
The last play of the Bucs season, and I saw somebody refer to this on Twitter. They went all out, and of course, Cup got open down the middle. Lee, the only guy that was within a zip code of Matt Stafford on that play was Ndamukong Suh. Now, he didn't get there. But if Kupp wasn't so wide-ass open, in the words of Bruce Arians, Stafford might have had to hold the ball one more second. He would have been on his ass because of Suh. So let's remember that. I thought he was the best Buck defensive player in that game. He had four hurries. And here's my other point. If Hicks is healthy, does that mean he's going to take significant snaps away from Logan Hall, Lee? Is that what it means?
Interesting question. This is all wrapped up into one, so to speak, all connected. Max Starks, former Steelers offensive lineman, was right on NFL radio last night, and he said the Hicks signing, this is a perfect example that the Bucs, 3 weeks in OTAs, said to themselves, uh-oh, we may not be as good on the defensive line as we thought. And that's coming from Max Starks. It's not coming from me. Not coming from anybody I talk to. That's coming straight from Max Starks. That the Bucs realized very recently that, uh-oh, we may not be as good on the defensive line as we thought we were.
You know, Steve, I've been saying that I wish they would re-sign Sue. And I think this is an acknowledgement that they needed a veteran presence there. I'm not saying this is a referendum on Logan Hall. I'm not saying that because, as Lee always says, you don't make total evaluations, lasting evaluations on guys in underwear football. So I'm not gonna say that, Lee. But
Kenny Bell says hi.
But Steve, Vita Vea's injury history is a factor in getting Akeem Hicks or Sue, and they picked Hicks over Sue. And if Hicks is healthy, I don't have a huge problem with it. But he will take snaps away from the young man, Steve. I don't think there's any question.
Well, he'll take snaps away from the young man if the young man isn't up for it. I mean, they're not going to, you know, so there's part of that, too. I think there's a few things. I don't discount what Max Stark says. It's a smart observation, even though, yeah, it's hard to go there yet when they're telling Hall, hey, you can only play at three-quarter speed and you can't really hit anybody. So it's difficult. Starks is always intriguing to me because he played for Bruce Arians. He's friends, according to his own chatter on SiriusXM NFL Radio. He's good friends with Byron Leftwich and refers to him as such openly on the air. So he's got some perspective on the Bucs. He's based in Arizona and has been out there for years. He ended his career with trying out for the Cardinals, but he didn't make it when Arians was still there. So he's not just a total outsider, nobody. You know, the thing is, Ira, we just don't know where the Bucs really stood. And, you know, you took some grief on Twitter implying and saying that, hey, some Buck fans are discounting the accomplishments and what Sue brought to the table. And you don't think that's a good idea. And somehow that you took a bunch of crap for that. I don't know why. However, it was the Bucs, not Ira Kaufman. It's the Bucs who looked at Sue, who wanted to come back. And remember his tweet saying, hey, I'm still here. You know, let's go. He put that out there, I think end of March or something like that. It's the Bucs who drafted an interior pass rusher with their top pick. It's the Bucs who went out and signed Akeem Hicks. So it's the Bucs who felt deficient. And that's a direct commentary on what Sue did last year. You don't do that if you think a guy is bringing the juice. So if you want to stretch it a little bit, Ira, you could even say that the Bucs rushed to make sure Will Golston didn't hit the market and to get him on a one-year, $5 million contract. No one's dismissing what Ndamukong Suh accomplished here, certainly not Ira. I know I said on this podcast, you know, I'm fine with them moving on. I said that a long time ago. You know, he's older. He's not Tom Brady. It's a tougher position. If they find better, if they want to draft better, or their evaluators think, hey, Hicks has is better value, go for it. So, but don't come after the sage. You don't come after the sage, especially when it's the Bucs who signed Hicks. It's the Bucs who drafted an interior rusher.
Lee, I've got no problem with drafting Logan Hall. Zero. Because Sue's on one-year contracts because you never know when his play's going to fall off the mountaintop. But my point, Lee, is that his play hasn't. It has not. I think he remains effective. He's not Aaron Donald. Who is? You know, he may not be Fletcher Cox or whatever. But, Lee, I love the guy that overcomes his injuries, of which he has, like a Rondé Barber, and just keeps playing at a high level, Lee. You can't overstate that, Lee. You can't overstate the reliability to know that this guy is going to be dressed and ready to go every freaking game. You know, if Hicks gets hurt and plays seven games this year, and now you got 10 weeks where – you know, you got to fill the gap and Vita Vea's got to play more snaps and you're relying more on Logan Hall. That could be a problem. So, Lee, my only point was, let's not diminish what Sue brought to the table during his Buck seasons. I thought he maintained his play. And Lee, to mention him and a gold jacket, I don't think it's crazy. Now, I'm not saying, you know, he's an automatic Hall of Famer. Far from it. He's not Merlin Olsen over here. But Lee, he's an all-decade player. All-decade. Not all-pro. All-decade of the 2010s. And still played, you know, into the following decade. And I'm not sure his career's over now that the Bucks have officially closed the door. I think that might change Sue's negotiating stance in terms of what he's asking for. So let's not say goodbye to the Domacom Sue with a wave of the hand, because he did help them win a championship.
This is all I need to say about Sue. The last 2 years, the Bucks were first and third in run defense.
Right.
And he had over 700 snaps both seasons.
Yeah.
Sage, one X factor here before we get away from Sue is June 1st, which is when we're recording this. June 4-1st in the world of salary cap gobbledygook around the NFL is when a lot of teams get some salary cap room because they cut guys with contracts in March and designated it for after June 1st. So there was a story by Paul Gutierrez out in Las Vegas about the Raiders, you know, longtime beat writer. He's written books. You know him, I'm sure. Gutierrez wrote a story saying, hey, Sue's a perfect fit for the Raiders, and watch out for that because they're clearing $20 million in cap room starting June 1st. And so the reason I bring that up is because if the Bucks knew, hey, June 1st, you've got teams that are going to have cash to sign Hicks or Sue or maybe this third choice that we had, we got to sign this guy, any of these guys, before June 1st. Because the last thing we want to do in June is get into a bidding war that we can't get involved in. You know, let's just do it. So I think that was probably some sort of factor somewhere. It'll be interesting to see, though, if Sue plays. He's very unique, Ira. I believe on defense, he's made more money than any lineman in history, $166 million, because he came in right before the rookie salary cap, and he's gotten some big deals, and he's played a long time. So, and if you believe that he's actually made money in business, you know, we hear that he's great in business. You never know. You never hear, oh, I lost on this, you know, just like Tom Brady. You know, you never hear that he ever lost any money ever. But if Sue's done well, then, you know, with the money he probably has in the bank, I mean, he's a guy who can afford to wait it out and feel it out. And you know, if he wants to retire, he retires.
Very astute point, Steve, about May 31st. Lee, it's no coincidence that the Bucks got the deal done with Akeem Hicks when they did, that it wasn't June 10th, that it was before June 1st came around. As far as the Raiders, Lee, with Ndamukong Suh, the Raiders look like they're all in. I mean, in the toughest division in football, out of those four quarterbacks, they have number four, even though Derek Carr, I think, is in the top echelon, you know, the top half of NFL quarterbacks. He's number four in that division, now that Russell Wilson's in Denver. They got Devontae Adams. You know, they got some players, Lee. They got Crosby. And then they signed Chandler Jones, Lee. They got players.
Well, in that division, if you hope to compete, you have to be all in. Because all the other three teams are all in. So you don't have a choice. Either you unload your roster and load up on draft picks for the future, or you go all in. Real quick about Sue. Ira, there's a former Bucks offensive guard who's a local sports radio personality, sometimes has a podcast, Ian Beckles. Ian Beckles has said this time, oh my gosh, I couldn't tell you how many times he said this. He thinks Sue is the sole reason the Bucks defense flipped from being soft and being weak and being completely lousy to one of the best defenses in the league. He thinks Sue single-handedly brought a sense of toughness and a sense of aggression and transformed that defense with his own hands. Your thoughts?
That is one hell of a view from Beckles in particular, Lee, and I'll tell you why. Because the human panada that Beckles had every week on his show was Gerald McCoy. He used to kill him, Lee. Kill him.
Yep.
And McCoy and Sue, as Steve knows, have always been linked since, I believe, it's 2010. Correct, Steve? When they were picked second and third, Sue and McCoy. and Sue's still going. And Beckles used to kill McCoy for lack of physicality, being too nice, not being aggressive enough. And now he lauds Sue for quite the opposite. It's just a very interesting take on two defensive tackles that have entered the league together and ended their careers. And we don't know if Sue's has ended in very different manners. Sue is a potential Hall of Famer. And when I suggested, Steve, years ago that McCoy was going to be in the Bucks Ring of Honor, the wrath of Buck Nation came down on me. What are you talking about, Ira? What are you talking about? Well, he did make six Pro Bowls, Steve, but there's no question. Sue's had by far the better career, Steve.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's a fair take by Beckles, whether he's biased or not. Sage, for those wondering, when you said Panada, you meant Pinata. And, of course, a Panada, I don't know what that is, but it could be the next vehicle offering, perhaps a hybrid SUV from Bill Curry Ford. BillCurryFord.com is where you want to shop for any vehicle. And, of course, order a brand new Ford, no deposit, and all kinds of incentives from General Manager Sean Sullivan. BillCurryFord.com. It's a fair take. I mean, the Bucks needed some new faces of defensive leadership at that time, and McCoy was the big voice, and you know that happens, and obviously they weren't successful on defense with McCoy. So end of story there, and I buy it to a degree. Absolutely, I buy that. It'll be interesting though if he ends up in Nevada, like Lee said. You know that whole division has to go all in because everybody's putting pressure on everybody else. But Sue could see that opportunity as, hey, you know. And no state income tax in Nevada either. And I can expand my name around a little bit. And I got Max Crosby. I got Chandler Jones. No one's going to bug me. I'm not the big star. And, you know, what a nice opportunity for me to be on high profile games and yep. You know, check out from there. So I could see it, but we'll see. At least, you know, hopefully he doesn't end up in New Orleans. That would be ugly.
Ira, a little bit ago, and I don't mean to switch gears aggressively here, so radically, but you brought up Gerald McCoy in the Ring of Honor. I'm going to throw a name at you. The incredibly shrinking Ali Marpet. Is he Ring of Honor material?
I wouldn't be opposed to it, Lee. I mean, we're talking about 10 years down the line, maybe, because I'm still a James Wilder guy, Lee. I don't know if you are, but...
He ought to be in. I don't know why. The only thing I can think of is the Glazers didn't own the team when he played.
Yeah, I mean, let's go back a little bit. You know, we got all these modern guys, and now Arians is going in. And, you know, let's not skip over the early 80s. I mean, the Bucks didn't have much.
Although
but they had
a lot
Wilder.
Of fans wish you would.
They did have Wilder, you know, those last few years of the John McKay era. And he was a workhorse, and he had three or four, you know, big seasons. Anyway, I'm not opposed to Marpet. I'm not really opposed to McCoy. Say what you want. A lot of bad Buck football, but for a while, he was a pretty good player.
Well, I'm opposed to Marpet. I don't know. I don't think he's got enough. If you're going to put Marpet in, then I think if Donovan Smith does 10, 11 years, you got to put him in too.
I agree.
Yeah, best.
He's got to make a Pro Bowl at least, doesn't he?
I don't know. There are a lot of Bucks who've made a Pro Bowl that weren't, you know, necessarily that great. They made one. I don't know. I don't know if I would want to put Pro Bowl on it.
We got guys like Lavonte David and Mike Evans that are, you know, they're ahead. They're ahead.
Oh, yeah,
guys.
There's going to be a bunch of them coming up. No question about it.
Hey, by the way, Steve, let me have 30 seconds and throw this out there. I saw something on Twitter. Where,
take 39, Ira. 39. Go.
Ira says Lavonte David isn't going to make the whole thing. Steve, that's not something I take any pride in. I don't want to say it. I'm a Lavonte David fan, but I've got 15 years of experience, guys, in that room. I know what works and I know what doesn't. And whoever's presenting Lavonte David, if he makes the list of finalists, which he may not, remember, it took Rondé Barber 2 years, Steve, to even get in the room when he was eligible. He was rebuffed from the 25 semifinalists to the 15. He didn't make it for his first 2 years. And that had nothing to do with any speeches I was making. So that tells you know the mindset of 49 other voters towards Rondé Barber in terms of him being a slam dunk. So, Lee, I'm just saying with my experience, all pros, all decades, Pro Bowls, they mean more than the sheer statistics, and that's just the way it is.
We're not going to do a Ring of Honor episode here, Ira, but if you're looking at Marpet, I think you gotta put Hardy Nickerson way ahead of Marpet, who made a lot of Pro Bowls here. And
that's a good one, Steve. That's a good one.
You know, I don't know. It's always a fun debate. I mean, maybe we got to get Aqib Talib in there for keeping things spicy, right? Get him in the Ring of Honor.
Steve, speaking of Nickerson, and this is an important point: Barber, Lynch, Sapp, and Brooks, they all point to Hardy Nickerson as being that change agent, Steve, that you talked about. In terms of the mentality of the Buck defense in the mid-90s when they were starting to turn into a dominant unit, a lot of them credit Hardy Nickerson for starting that.
Ira, a spectacular menu at the Big Storm Tap Rooms, 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road, and live music. Check the live music schedule there by following Big Storm on Facebook, Big Storm Clearwater. Gorgeous outdoor patio seating, covered, fully covered, indoors too. And in Odessa, now they've got live music there too as well. Off State Road 54, right on Success Drive. Also tap rooms in Cape Coral and in Orlando at the Amway Center every day, not just before and after and during events there. Ybor City is coming soon. You love the food at Big Storm, Sage. And of course, Big Storm is Florida's best craft beer. Find the beer, find your favorite Big Storm beer at bigstormbrewery.com. Punch in your zip code, they'll tell you where to buy it. And of course, it's for sale at the tap rooms. You'll find it in different stores, Publix. Check bigstormbrewery.com. We'll be there during the season for some road game watch parties. As always, very excited about that. Ira, a quick nugget, just because folks know you're a Bucks fan and a Chiefs fan. What, I got to ask you, I can't help but ask you, what do you think of Patrick Mahomes coming out and calling out Justin Watson and saying, where did they get this guy? And this guy's fast as hell and he's catching my deep balls. And, you know, it's like his pet project in OTAs where Mahomes is actually attending. So it looks like for your Chiefs, Ira, in that tough AFC West that we referenced, it looks like it'll be Justin Watson replacing Tyreek Hill. What do you think of that?
Lee, I would say pump the brakes. And here's my point. You know, I've been reading the stories about the Chief offseason. Lee, Justin Watson's like the fifth wide receiver that Mahomes is going crazy about. I mean, you know, he's got the Sky Moore, the draft pick. He's got Schuster. He's got Scantling. You know, he's going crazy over all these guys, mostly because he's hoping that somebody can do a reasonable facsimile of Tyreek Hill, which I don't think any of them can, Lee, because Tyreek Hill stands alone. It's the fastest guy that I've seen in uniform since Deion Sanders, I think. So you're not going to replace him like that. But, you know, Lee, Justin Watson, I don't know. He kind of fell through the cracks at one Buck place. I don't remember him ever really getting a shot. Brady obviously wasn't that high on him. You know, he's going to be the fifth receiver in Kansas City. We'll see what he can do. But, Lee, you got to remember one thing. Guys like Mahomes and guys like Brady in particular, Rodgers, they can make an average receiver look very good, Lee. They do it all the time. So if Justin Watson's got anything, I don't think he really got a shot behind Evans and Godwin. Truth be told, when you're behind those guys, Lee, you're not going to get a long look. And the Chiefs don't have anybody like Evans and Godwin. He'll get his fair share in Kansas City, but I wouldn't read too much into what Mahomes is saying in May.
Well, Justin Watson did get a shot with the Bucks. There were injuries in 2020. Early in the season, and it looked like, hey, Watson's going to make something of himself. He was sticking out in practice. He really wasn't embarrassing himself until two times Brady targeted him down the right sideline. He didn't react to the ball properly, and they both turned into pick sixes. One pick six, Brady might, okay, you made a mistake. You're human. The second time, see ya. And if you can't improve yourself with Brady as your quarterback, that's why he got in Brady's doghouse. Once he was in Brady's doghouse, he was done.
He was done.
Ira, I got to ask you this because I need to know if it's fair. And I'm not talking about the great prices at BillCurryFord.com where everybody should be shopping immediately. This is football. And this is the behind-the-scenes stuff that we need to understand from a guy with your connections and your wisdom and your experience. Ira, Kyle Trask brought out to the media, he takes the podium, does about 10 minutes. And do you think that Kyle Trask is making a little bit of a mistake when it comes to his goals of being this team's starting quarterback. And the Glazers, watching those videos, because they know that the quarterback is the most important position, and they're ultimately, as you know, the decision maker when it comes to quarterback, if you really want to boil it down, when the team is going for making its decision at quarterback. Is Kyle Trask making a mistake by not carrying himself like he's a number one quarterback material? I mean, the guy is just sort of so bland and so doesn't look like he's ready to take command of a franchise. Doesn't mean he can't play. I'm not commenting on the guy's play. I'm just strictly talking about the way he's presenting himself. Do you think he's doing himself a disservice with ownership?
You know, Steve, I was sitting there right next to Lee when Trask went to that podium. Steve, I don't agree with your assessment, Steve. I don't. Lee, my main takeaway, I thought Trask handled himself very, very well. He wants to play. He has a burning passion for football. But, Lee, what's he supposed to do? Is he supposed to trash Blaine Gabbert from the podium?
Everybody else does.
And you know what I mean, Lee. And I think this has to be the thought that's in the back of Trask's mind. Things can change very quickly, and he could be the starting quarterback for the 2023 Bucks. I mean, he could be. If I was betting, I would say that's not going to happen because, as Steve says, the Glazers will step in and say, wait a minute, this guy's never thrown an NFL pass. We're not entrusting this franchise. We still have a lot of great players. This is not 2010, you know, with a veteran purge, Lee. It's different. So that's beside the point. I thought Trask handled himself very well. He said he doesn't make those decisions. He's right. I think he's stunned and hurt by what Clyde Christensen said. But he knows that Christensen didn't say those things in a vacuum, Lee, and then Bowles had to do cleanup work. But I think he knows he's behind Gabbert, and it's going to kill him not to dress, if that's the case, which it looks like it will be. I don't think he did anything to hurt himself. And, Lee, for a guy who never thrown an NFL pass, what's he supposed to do with his bravado? Come out there like, you know, I'm the next Brett Favre. I got no problems with Trask.
Well, I might be speaking out of both sides of my mouth, but let me take a stab at it here. I understand what Steve is saying. In a perfect world, you want your quarterback to have some pizzazz, have a personality, have an ego. And Trask was Trask. And so basically you're asking a guy not to be him. That's number one. Number two, winning the press conference, the only thing that is good for is us. That's all it's good for. Doesn't mean a flipping thing about anything to do with the football field. Doesn't mean anything to do with most fans. Doesn't mean jack squat. And I was thinking about this the other night. I saw a clip on Twitter. Was it Joe Judge, the guy who used to be the coach of the Giants?
Yes.
Dynamite. His introductory press conference, dynamite. If he was a college coach, you couldn't wait to sign with him. He kicked tail in that press conference. You wanted to go out there and run through a wall for him. He was a horrible coach. Greg Schiano kicked ass in his press conference with the Bucks, introductory press conference. And I remember at the time, Bucks fans, I agreed with them. Oh, here's a coach. Bucks finally got a coach. They don't have a clown up there anymore. They've got a coach. This guy's going to get things done. This guy's going to be disciplined. He sucked. Winning the press conference doesn't mean a flipping thing outside of us and maybe the guys in the marketing department with the Bucks. That's
Steve, I see your point.
I asked you the question, Ira. Let me finish the point a little bit. I do think that only from the standpoint of Trask selling himself to the Glazers, that he's missing it. So if someone's not advising him properly, he doesn't have to be cocky. He doesn't have to not be himself. But if he wants a chance to impress ownership to get the job, and I think we all agree they have a hand in picking the quarterback. Now, he's not the head coach. I totally get that. But he's got to be stand there and say and make it very clear, my job here with the Bucks is to be ready to be the day one starter because anything can happen. It happens every time in the league. And I'm learning from Tom and I'm learning from Blaine. But I am focused on being the day one starter and trying to be the best leader I can on this team. So if that happens, everyone will respect where I am, and I can lead this team where it needs to go. I think he needs to say something like that versus just being wishy-washy if he wants to have an inside track with ownership going forward, just with ownership.
All right, I'll address that. Lee, everything Steve just said makes sense, except for one thing, Lee. It's not an open competition for the backup job. And that changes everything, Lee. If it was an open competition, if Christensen hadn't said what he said or thought the way he did, based on his conversations, obviously, with Bowles and Light and whoever else he talked to about Trask, Lee, if he hadn't said that, maybe Trask comes out and flexes his muscles a little and says, I can't wait to compete for this backup job and get a chance to dress on Sundays. But Lee Christensen said what he said. He can't take it back. He said what he said. He's the quarterback coach. He made it clear there's not going to be competition for Brady's backup. I don't like it. You may not like it. Buck fans may not like it. But he said it, Lee. And so now you're number three, and you're supposed to come off like you're Brett Favre. I'm not buying it.
Well, I was going to say something about...
And Lee, I don't even know if he's number three. He might be behind Griffin at this point.
Well, I don't, you know what? Someone brought this up in my practice notes, and they're not wrong. Like, is Ryan Griffin practicing? And honestly, I don't think I can remember more than two passes Ryan Griffin's had so far in underwear football. Now, I don't know if he's got a sore arm or... Let's put this... I'm not sitting there taking notes. Is Ryan Griffin at practice today? I know some are. I'm not. I don't give a damn. But I can only remember him throwing a couple passes, and that's it. Again, it's underwear football. I got to qualify it. Maybe it's just me, but Tom Brady's not exactly Howard Stern at the podium. And once upon a time, he was a third-day draft pick. Eli Manning, that wasn't exactly Don Rickles. I know I'm dating myself there. Wasn't exactly Don Rickles at the podium. He was okay. The podium stuff and the Glazer stuff. You put a gun to my head, what my take was on Kyle Trask yesterday, and I could be dead wrong here, but this is the impression I got. Let me go to another team so I can have a chance.
Well, this chance could come as early as next year, Lee. I mean, it could. It could.
When you got your quarterbacks coach entering your second year and you're a second-round draft pick saying they got to find a way to get you snaps in practice, not snaps in the game, snaps in practice, you know, cue Allen Iverson.
You sounded like Iverson.
He's the only quarterback that was drafted last year that not only did he not dress for a game, he never took a snap. I don't know. There was all kinds of red flags. I know I'm going to get Gators fans going bananas at me, but someone tell me where I'm wrong just for evidence. Not that, I want him to play because I wear orange and blue. No, tell me, show me the evidence that the Bucks have shown. Show me the evidence that Trask is your next starter with the Bucks. I don't see any evidence of that.
Hey, Steve, you love to put up these quick polls, and you get a lot of answers in the first hour or two. So I'm going to do a quick one here, Steve, and I'll start it off. When will we see number 87 at One Buck Place? I'm going to start it off, Steve, and I'm going to say first day of training camp. Not mandatory mini camp because he's not signed. Steve, I'll say first day of training camp, Gronkowski shows up. What do you say, Isbitz?
I'll agree. First day of training camp, if they have to throw a red jersey on him, you know, that they do on the guys who can't hit, they'll do that for as long as Gronk doesn't want to be hit.
What do you say, Lee? I think you may not agree with that.
When do the Dolphins come in? No, seriously, when do the Dolphins come? I don't know the date. And I don't pay attention to preseason. Well, the reason why I'm asking is the Bucks have two, you know, what they call them, set-up practices. I can't remember what they call them. Controlled scrimmages. They have them with the Titans. They have them with the Dolphins. Whenever the second controlled scrimmage is finished.
That's after 3 weeks of camp.
Yeah.
3 weeks.
That's the earliest.
All right, Sage. Look, Bruce Arians was on Pittsburgh Sports Radio. Ira did his first interview. This goes back about 10 days or so, first interview, and we wrote about it over the weekend. One of the things that he said was that he's watching practice and that he's reporting to Jason Light, advising him on the 53-man roster. Now, it's pretty clear that he's not at $1, but I guess it's possible he's sitting up in a room somewhere looking out over practice. More likely, he's doing what coaches do. He's getting the coach's film. It's all cut up for him, 45 minutes. He's watching practice on his computer, and he's sending over some notes and giving Jason a call. But what do you think of that, as well as the other comment Arians had, among many, was that he and Brady still laugh about all the reported friction between the two of them, that they laughed at the time, and they laughed afterwards, and they still do.
Friends of mine that are not really attuned to the Bucks, and I think they speak for, you know, quite a few Buck fans, Lee. They speak with certainty that Brady ran off Bruce Arians. I mean, they're convinced of it. Maybe they're reading, you know, certain people, Lee, we know who they are, in social media, prominent names that have basically said that that's a fact. There's not any question about it. Brady put his foot down to management, to Glazers, to Light. You got to make a move on the coaching. And all this thing about this is Bowles' chance is a bunch of nonsense. They're convinced of it, Lee. It's still out there. Lee, I'm giving Tom Brady a heads up. I know he's practicing for his big golf match tonight, Lee, but I'll send this out to Brady. We're going to get you next week in front of a podium. Oh, yes, we are.
You really think you're going to pin this guy down?
And it's been a long time, Mr. Brady, a long time since the Rams game ended that we get a chance to ask you questions. And, Lee, if you won't do it, and I know Isbitz will do it, and I'm going to do it, we will get at least his version. Doesn't mean we're going to get to the bottom of it, but his version of some of these things. Lee, as far as what Arian said on that radio show about being involved, Lee, I hope it's true, and I know you agree with me on this. I hope it's true, and I hope Arian has input, and I hope it's not just a fake title that he has, Lee, and that we don't see him, and he doesn't have much input. I think that would be doing him a disservice. I don't know how involved he wants to be, but the guy's been around this game for so long. He knows what a football player looks like, Lee, without question, and he doesn't play favorites. And, Lee, I'm not saying that Bowles has to take Arian's word for every recommendation, but hear the man out. And I think Bowles will do that because we know how Bowles looks at Bruce Arians in terms of being a mentor for his career. And I don't think Bowles will turn his back on Arians. Hear the man out, Lee. That's smart, and it'll make Bowles a better coach.
I don't think Bowles will tune him out. The thing about the Brady rumors where people, he said, friends of yours that aren't really wired into the Bucks, they believe it. There's a couple things, a couple factors. One, the old saying, if you tell a lie enough, people believe it as fact. Well, I'm not saying that's a lie, but this was pounded into people's consciousness for 2.5-3 months, you know, if not longer. Brady doesn't get along with Arians, Brady doesn't get along with Arians, Brady doesn't get along with Arians, you know, it's repetitive. You hear it like a broken record. And that's part of it. And the other part is everything that happened after the season between, you know, Brady retiring and having his rapture. Then as soon as Brady comes back, Arians retires. Oh, I had this all set up, handed off to Todd Bowles. None of it makes common sense. None of it makes sense. But it also doesn't make sense that people jump out of perfectly good airplanes. But people do it. So you take the repetitive Brady hates Arians, Brady hates Arians, Brady hates Arians, with the stuff that happened after the season with Arians retiring and all that stuff, which doesn't make, you know, no one, we can't think this way. Why would you give up the best quarterback of all time and a chance to win another Super Bowl and a chance to get in the Hall of Fame? Why would you give it up if you're healthy? And so you combine the two, and that's why it's hard for people to swallow.
Steve, let me throw this out there. Suppose there was a big problem between Brady and Arians. Suppose Brady did talk to the Glazers and Light. You need to make a coaching change. And what if Arians refused to step down on his own volition? Steve, what would have happened? Would they have fired Bruce Arians?
No, I don't think they would have fired Bruce Arians, but every man has his price, Ira. And look, we're never going to know what goes on with brown bags and behind the scenes happenings. And look, there are people who legitimately believe Jason Light ran a coup and didn't just recommend. He ran some sort of coup to oust Lovie Smith. Maybe that's true. Maybe it's not. I don't know. And, you know, Ira, at the time, you were very pretty confident that the Glazers were making overtures to John Gruden and that they wanted him to be their coach in 2018. And you had reason to believe that. But, you know, you're just never going to know the truth on these things. And it's unfortunate that it may tarnish Arians a little bit. But I think he seems very happy and prepared to deal with it, and or is just telling himself that nobody believes this crap, who's important to me. And maybe that's true.
I hope we see him out there a lot during training camp, Steve. I that's my hope.
I would think so. All right, Ira, two important questions for you, but I'm going to ask you for pretty quick answers so we can get out of here. Want to remind everybody, BillCurryFord.com. That's where you shop immediately, 24/7. It's in your phone, BillCurryFord.com. Tampa's top Ford dealer beyond. I mean, just we can't even say enough. GM Sean Sullivan will help you personally, which you won't get anywhere else with the kind of level of care he's going to help you with, even if you're not ready to buy right now. BillCurryFord.com. Our thanks to Big Storm Beer, Florida's best craft beer. Eat and enjoy live music at the tap rooms. BigStormBrewery.com. BigStormBrewery.com. You can find them in Clearwater, Odessa, Cape Coral, Amway Center in Orlando, coming soon to Ybor City. And of course, as we heard before, the full offer from Florida's Elite Restoration. Put it in your favorites, bookmark it, put it in your phone. If you have that problem in your home or your business, Florida's Elite Restoration.com is your first phone call. They'll get out there and give you that free assessment that you need to know what's going on so you don't get ripped off. And of course, get their $500 discount. Ira, two important questions. One, because we've referenced this guy so many times, Jeff Darlington was on ESPN on television. He gets a question about Tom Brady. And what does Darlington do? A guy who's widely considered the ultimate Brady insider. He takes the question and he says, "Hey, you asked the guy who reported Brady's retirement only to have him come back 40 days later. I'm staying out of this. I have no idea." That's not Jeff Darlington. It felt to me like, hey, maybe Darlington's trying to put the word out subtly that, hey, cut me off from the Brady train because they've cut me off.
Somebody got to Jeff Darlington. Somebody got to him. It's like a witness in a murder trial or something. All of a sudden, the guy doesn't remember anything. Like Steve said, Darlington's been out there in the lead of Brady news. Lee, you've mentioned his name many times as being a Brady insider, and now he doesn't want to comment. Maybe people have gotten to him. They've turned off the Brady faucet with Darlington. And, of course, he lives on access. Guys in his position, we understand that. And so now he's got to play ball a little bit. Maybe he reported a few things that the Brady camp didn't like. Lee,
do you think this is somehow connected? And you brought it up many, many, many times before, Ira, that this was so not Tom Brady because he's so... You know, everything is mapped out. He does everything organized. Do you think this is somehow connected with Brady's social media team at TB12 putting out the retirement news shortly after Darlington reported it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because as you just pointed out, he's so careful, so scripted about doing things the way he wants to detail. And Steve, the one thing that screwed this whole thing up was his original retirement announcement, which was botched, which was announced by Darlington and Schefter, I think.
Yep.
Yes. And it was correct. I'm not knocking Darlington and Schefter. They had it right, Steve. And then the crazy TB12 team kind of confirms it. And then they scrubbed the tweet. Within an hour, that was like Keystone Cops, Steve. That's not Brady. And so Darlington was part of that whole original report. Now you're facing the wrath of Brady.
All right, Sage, the other question is Jameis Winston back from his early November knee surgery on the practice field in OTAs with the Saints. You know, reports from the practice field, he's limping. He's out there practicing. Loud calls all across from various experts on Sirius XM NFL radio, Pat Kerwin, a few others. Get him off the field. What are you doing? That he's got an ACL, he's rehabbing, it's not even 7 months. Get him off the field. What's going on? Do you think they're pushing Jameis? I know you're not a doctor, Ira, but it is a little odd to see a guy recovering from an ACL in an offense that he already knows. I mean, this is his third year there. They didn't change the offense per se. It's Sean Payton's number two man there. And there he is running around OTAs. He's a veteran quarterback, Ira. What do you think of all that, guys?
Here's what I think. Dennis Allen better take control of the situation and fast. Dennis Allen, this is his second time around. Just like Todd Bowles, the first one, you get a D, if not an F. It didn't work. Dennis Allen, you get a D, if not an F. It didn't work. Lee, you botched this one. You're never going to get another chance. You know it, and I know it. This is it. This is it for Bowles if it's unsuccessful. This is it for Allen if it's unsuccessful. You got nothing behind Jameis Winston. Forget about Taysom Hill, Lee. We've seen that he's not a viable answer. You know, now you want to use him 10 snaps a game, fine. You know, in certain spots, he can be effective. But there's no mystery about Taysom Hill anymore, about being a number one quarterback. You got Jameis Winston. You got training camp in 2 months. You want him for training camp. Now, Lee, if you leave it up to Winston, you know how effervescent and bubbly Winston is. His passion for football is off the charts. That's what we loved about Winston. The work ethic, fantastic. And usually have to calm him down, Lee. You know how excited he'd get before a game, and I thought that hurt him a few times, and I think you did too.
Yep.
That he was too ready, you know, those early picks. And you can't leave this up to Jameis Winston, Lee. You got to rely on the medical team. And if Winston doesn't like what you're saying, so be it. But you need him September 10th. You don't need him June 2nd. So this is on Dennis Allen to take control, Lee.
Maybe that's just the way I think. But notice when this happened. When did it happen? I know when it happened, but think of the circumstances of Jameis practicing. What was going on?
They changed the soup at your favorite spot in New Orleans?
No, that won't happen. No, who was watching?
NFL.
Ira, you should pick this up immediately. Who was watching? How do we know that he was actually on the practice field limping? Were there not reporters there?
Of course.
Think about it. What do the Bucks do when they don't want reporters to see something?
They don't let them watch parts of practice.
Thank you very much. Now, why the Saints would want to put out misdirection like that, I don't know. But I remember Pat Yastinksis, he always told us how absolutely paranoid the Saints front office is. Anti-media, paranoia. So why would they let reporters see that?
Are you telling me they want other teams to have some kind of false sense of security that are playing the thing?
That might be my guess. There's got to be a reason. If he was that hobbled, why would they let him out there for everybody to document it?
If it is true that he is hobbled, Lee, then they got to get to the bottom of it and stop it right now. That's all I'm saying. If it's true.
I don't know, guys. I have to throw it out there because it is a unique situation. And hey, Bucks face the Saints week two. They're the hated rival. And Jameis, is always interesting. You never know what's going on there. So we'll see how
it works. About the Jameis limping, I've seen NFL teams where they had wide receiver limp toward the sidelines, sort of a Dan Marino fake spike kind of stunt. Limp toward the sidelines, and they ignore the guy because, oh, man, he's limping off the field. Next, you know, boom, he's racing down the sideline for a big score.
Well, I'll say this, Steve, and you know I'm right about this. If anybody will put the work in to rehab as quick as possible from a knee injury, it's Jameis Winston.
No one would rightfully question that, but it's something to watch. It's certainly strange and begs a lot of speculation. So, all right, Sage, Lee, we're out of here. Ira will be back later this week. We appreciate everybody listening. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podbean, Podcast Addict, right at JoeBucksFan.com. Sage has plenty more in his in his food bowl.